I wouldn't have sex with him.
Depends how much money he gave you.
And if Jason Statham was cuckolding in the room, sitting there watching you, barking out orders.
That'd be rough.
I see him knowing, like, knowing like that the only shadows, when you... like smoking a cigarette, like with like a paper fan.
Talking in a French accent.
Yeah, in like a like an old, like dirty recliner.
I like it. With like a big spring sticking out of it.
Yeah. Maybe a strip of duct tape.
I like
and you,
it.
You have to impress him with your performance to earn him as the reward.
When
and then he gives it to you.
Yeah, he takes he plays winner.
Yeah. Exactly.
He's put his quarter in the machine.
Yeah. I like it.
This coming out of the mouth of the guy who was just talking about how strong the word hate is.
Dark Knight Rises sucks.
He is not a mentally disabled person.
Are you nuts?
He's just Southern.
I agree with Justin.
Oh, God.
Uptown all the way.
That's Justin's kiss of death right there.
I like songs with instructions because it really helps me out. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, geeks of all ages, welcome back to another fun and festive episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. My name's Justin Cavender, and as always, I'm joined by Amanda, David, and Randy. How are you three doing today?
Good.
So-so.
Stupendous.
Aw, Dave, why are you so-so?
I'm getting better. I'll be fine.
Come see, come saw.
Just a big baby.
Don't be a baby. I love you more than anything. My wife is ready to divorce me because I love you more.
Would you say that I'm uptown all the way?
I would say that not only are you uptown all the way, but you are also a fine young man.
Great. So I get the double kiss of death. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm fabulous.
Awesome.
I'm always fabulous. Even when I'm upset and angry and hating the world, I'm still fabulous. No joke. But Dave, I hope you cheer up. Maybe this podcast is just what the doctor ordered.
I hope so, because I've just been taking these big pills and drinking lots of water, and you know how that goes.
Yes, I do. You're all better. Now, before we begin, I would like to remind everyone about the different podcasts we currently have available on our podcast network. First, we have our show, which is the Geek Legacy Podcast, and it's hosted by the four of us. We like to have guests on our show. We talk about movies and TV. We'll have some random top 10 list, and we'll play our weekly podcast game. Please email your topics or any questions you might have to info@geeklegacy.com, and we'll be happy to discuss them on the show and send you a fun prize. Then we have the Pixelated Podcast, which is hosted by Stephen Janes and myself. A new episode airs every Friday, and we discuss what's happening in the world of video games. Everything from news to reviews and even juicy rumors. Both of us play a ridiculous amount of video games, and we can talk about them all day. Lastly, we have the Comic Corner Podcast, which is hosted by Jeff and Tyler. These guys usually have a show every other Friday where they review comics currently on their pull list. If you have any comic book-related questions, send them an email to ccpodcast@geeklegacy.com, and they'll be happy to answer them for you. Chances are they'll write you back immediately, but they might also answer your question on the show, giving you a fun little shout-out. I think that about covers it, so let's get on with the show.
Well, and real quick, the Pixelated Podcast has gotten much better since you replaced that Covender jerk off. now that Justin Cavender has taken over, it's top notch.
It's funny you say that. I told him before it started. I was like, "It's Cavender, like lavender with a C."
Well, I noticed on this week's he pronounced it correctly.
He got scolded.
Yeah, he said us instead of they. So
yeah,
it was a double win.
My agent lit him up.
That's right. So we all go back to loving Steven again.
Yes, we can.
Yeah. Not that I ever stopped.
Right. He's a fine young man. Anyway, thank you for your kind comments. I much appreciate it. I'm glad that you are listening to the show. Now I cannot talk about you anymore whilst I'm on it.
I should have told you.
That's right.
that way you would have just warmed up and you would have said something just vitriol. I would have been like, you.
I'd have been like, damn it, Dave. Amanda, what's happening? The Walking Dead, it has hit the fan. Why don't you tell us what's going on?
Well, you guys, last week we saw the death of poor Patrick, blood exploding out of all of his orifices. And then he turned into a walker. And the whole big question last week was, you know, is this some sort of like airborne infection that's going to turn people into zombies, or is this just the flu going around? And according to the conveniently placed Dr. S, who's came out of nowhere, it is. It's some kind of super flu that can kill you in less than 24 hours. So now they're all freaking out about whether they're going to get sick and die and then kill everybody else once they become walkers. So that was pretty crazy. And then we almost had another near disaster with the fence coming down because all the walkers have been gathering at one place on the fences and, you know, pushing them down. And it almost fell on all of our intrepid heroes until Rick finally pulled his head out of his ass and started helping. But that part was sad. I think I told you, Justin, you probably don't want to watch it because
yeah, with them cutting animals the pigs. Hurt.
Yeah. Oh, you did rough. Watch it?
Yeah, I watched it. I sucked it up. I was like, well, it's not real. It's fake.
It was just the squeals. Was, I know. It was harder to listen to.
I don't like that, or when like dogs do that whimper before they get killed or something. Mm-hmm. I hate that noise too.
Right. It
bothers me.
So really, I felt like last night's episode was about Rick finally, you know, making the conscious decision to be a leader again. And you know, like when they had that meltdown in Cell Block D, and everyone was like, all hands on deck, we gotta take care of all these walkers that came out of nowhere. Someone hands Rick a rifle, but then he like immediately gives it to somebody else. Like he doesn't want to handle a gun.
And right. I thought it was cool though, but I mean, it was not like it wasn't that he like didn't want to do anything. He just kind of seemed like he had an aversion to the gun because he still went up and like he helped people. So I was glad that he wasn't like shell shocked or something like that. It was just
right. It's just there's something about being responsible for a gun that is. That makes him really uncomfortable, which, you know, when you can argue in this world, you have to be comfortable with a gun, especially given his background as a sheriff, you know. Or was he sheriff? And now I'm like...
He was sheriff.
I'm kidding. Okay. I can't remember if he was sheriff or he was just another police officer, but anyway. So then, you know, at the end when he decides to put, you know, his gun belt back on, it's like, okay, I'm going to take responsibility again. And
I'm glad that was only the one episode we had to deal with that. Because, I mean, it was a little bit long and tiring with him last season going a little crazy. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that by the end of the second episode, he's back to being, you know, Sheriff Rick.
Yeah. And it's not that he was not being helpful. Like when it was needed, you know, like when they needed him to put down some walkers, he did it. But you could tell that it made him really uncomfortable to have to do it.
Right, right. He's a delicate little flower, and and I get that. And like, you know, anything could set him off to go crazy again, and that's right. Fine. I totally believe that. And taking baby steps, but that's cool that he's already snapped out of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then we were left with that harrowing vision of two completely charred and burned bodies. And I think the implication is that Karen and the other guy were still alive when they were burned. Like, they hadn't died from the flu and then turned. Like, they had been injured and then dragged outside and then burned alive. I think that was, like, the implication.
Yeah, who do you think it was? Do you think it was the Alki guy, or do you think it was the doctor, this Dr. C?
Honestly, I feel like it's going to end up being somebody that we don't even know yet. Or
I think it's Rick.
Really?
I do. I think you know, he's kind of gone, just, he's all into protection mode now, and he's just got to, he let all these Woodbury people in, and, you know, I think that he just wants to hunker down, take care of shit.
I like it.
I think you're trying to stir up some shit, Dave.
No, I didn't get the same. I didn't get the same impression that you got. I got the impression that they had turned, or that they had at least died, but maybe they hadn't come back yet, and that the person had dragged them out and burned them. It didn't even dawn on me that the person may have killed them before they had turned. If that's the case, then I don't think it's Rick. But in the case that I understood it as, is that, you know, they were going to be undead. In that scenario, I think it was Rick.
Yeah, I thought they puked up the blood, and that's what all that blood was there for.
Was,
I thought that they turned.
There was just so much blood, and it was, like, smeared all over the floor. I kind of felt like they were still alive, and so, like, blood was still, like, gushing out of them. Because that blood trail outside, they're like, there was so much of it. I'm not sure if there would have been that much, but I don't know. I'm not a blood spatter expert.
The only one we know is a lumberjack up north somewhere.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, I guess it could go in any direction. Wasn't there something like this happened in the comics, right, Dave? It wasn't like Tyrus's girlfriend. It was somebody else.
Yeah.
His daughter or something?
If they go the way of the comic, which they're kind of going, this is kind of reminiscent of something in the comics, I don't really want to speculate on it because it would be enormous spoiler alert. But yeah, in the comic, Tyrese is involved from like issue 6. Like he's as important as like Shane and Daryl and all the people were in this season or in the actual show itself. In the comic, Tyrese is like the main dude. Like it's Rick and then Tyrese. He's his number two guy. Yeah, and Tyrese comes with, you know, Karen, and he comes with this other small group. And in the comic, Tyrese and Carol actually have a relationship. And then once Michonne comes in, Tyrese goes to Michonne, and then Carol commits suicide by zombie. Like she basically walks into a walker, and, like gives him a hug, and the walker just like just gnaws her neck out.
I'm glad they decided not to do that.
Yeah, it's pretty gory and pretty graphic. The comic is, yeah, there's a lot of off-putting moments. Like, you know, I know the piglet stuff in the show really turned me off, but in the comic, like the way like Lori dies, like she gets shot, and when she gets shot, Judith gets shot too. So like they kill the mom and the baby. Like the baby's like a couple months old and you're dead. So they don't pull any punches. And so yeah, there is some action with an airborne virus, but I don't really want to talk about it for worries of spoilage.
Mm-hmm. Exciting. Personally, yeah. I feel like this is much more exciting than last season was at this point.
Yeah, I was pretty excited. The scene with Daryl and Carl where they're digging the grave, like that was one of my favorite scenes. And it's also good because in the comic, Michonne is like an actual person, not like a mute assassin. And so it was kind of nice to see her kind of have an emotion when she was holding Judith and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hoping that they're going to kind of take her arc a little farther because, you know, she was upset at herself because she put other people in harm, especially Carl. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she was real attached to Judith. So hopefully they bring some of her backstory in and we get a lot more like, you know, her as an actual person who still kicks ass. I don't want her to turn like a blubbering mess. I don't want another Carol, but it would be great if she was a kick-ass chick who also had a personality. Mm-hmm.
Actually, I don't think that's fair to Carol. Carol's pretty badass now.
She told that little girl she was weak.
I know, right?
I was like, bitch!
Ain't that popcorn?
But it was for her own girl. It was for her own good.
I get that.
Girls, though, are weird. Like, what is going on with them?
A lot of people think that they're the ones who burn the bodies. Yeah. Or that they're the ones feeding the rats.
They were the ones. I was under the impression they were feeding the rats to the zombies because they were naming them.
Right.
Well, the one had the name tag.
Oh, I thought she was making them like pets, and she was just feeding.
Well, no, there was one with the name tag, and so they started naming the others.
Oh, okay.
I didn't catch that she named other ones.
Yeah,
that was when Carl's like, you know, they're not. You should not like those guys.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, those two girls are weird. Because at first, yeah, I thought the older one was going to be, you know, the tough one, and then she couldn't stab her dad in the head.
Yeah, that was cute, though, how the little girl, the sister, stood up for her. Like, mm-hmm. She's not weak, she's whatever. Going through stuff.
Off or something. Yeah. I don't remember what she said. It's not weak.
Bad day. Upset. Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like something weird's going to happen with them.
Yeah, I think the storm is coming, and I think I'm hoping that this half of the season ends with Rick just saying, you know what? We tried it my way, neither one worked, so I'm just going to take over again.
Let's
see. In a democracy.
Good stuff.
Best stuff.
Yeah, that's true. The best stuff ever.
Mm-hmm.
Right here.
Geek Legacy. You heard?
You heard it here, folks. Mm-hmm. Have you guys heard of that show, Almost Human?
Yeah, it got pushed back 2 more weeks.
I didn't realize that Carl Urban was in it, and now I'm kind of interested.
Yeah.
We were talking about it on the podcast a couple weeks ago.
He's a copper with a robot partner. That's mm-hmm. a mandatory robot partner.
That's right.
Minka Kelly. He's not fond of that.
Oh, right. I remember talking about Minka Kelly.
You're like, where's she been?
Right.
I don't think I like her.
I don't think... Has she been anything you've seen? She was in Charlie's Angels. She was in Friday Night Lights. And that's about
it. She was in a movie recently, wasn't she?
Oh, God.
Unless she was like... It's not Lisa Loeb, right?
Lily Taylor? That's what I'm thinking of. Is Lily Taylor in... Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. Lily Taylor. She's an Almost Human. Don't like her.
Yeah. She's so-so.
That's who I was thinking of.
She's not an ugly lady.
She's not who I like. And the movie that I was thinking of is the movie where it's all about people that have sleep disorders and they have to go and stay in this house.
The Haunting with Liam Neeson?
Yes. And she is in that, and I do not like her. I'm sure she's a fine young woman, but I do not like her work. And she is in Almost Human, and you only see her face for like a half a second in the trailer for Almost Human, but it was long enough.
Half a second too long.
Yes, I noticed it was her, and I cringed. My blood curled for a second. Didn't like it.
Like, and I am out.
It was just like how Weaver can ruin any show for me. Like The Event?
Laura Innes.
Do you remember that show, The Event?
Oh, I do.
That was such a bad show.
You mean The Event that never happened? Or I guess technically it happened. It was never explained.
She was in that.
And she was an alien.
Dang, spoiler alert.
Yeah, no one else saw it.
Oh, jeez.
And not Jason Ritter was in it. What's the guy who looks like Jason Ritter, but it's not Jason Ritter? Shit, now I gotta look it up. Oh, it was Jason Ritter, never mind.
Who's Jason Ritter?
He was in it.
John Ritter's son.
He was in The Event.
I'm like, it's the guy who looks just like Jason Ritter. He looks so much like Jason Ritter, he is Jason Ritter.
Oh, yeah, I know who that is. He was in Freddy vs. Jason.
He was. He was.
Yeah, I thought that, yeah. You're right.
Anyway, we're getting sidetracked.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we do.
I don't like him either. He reminds me of Cyclops.
Speaking of Cyclops, I watched Sex Drive was on last night, and I remember how much I loved it, and I turned it on right at the part where he finds out that his car got taken. He's like beating the shit out of the garage door, and he goes to kick it and like just misses.
He like hops off his motorcycle and it just goes wrecking down the street.
Yeah, the motorcycle keeps going, but he hops off.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I hadn't seen that. Rumspringer! Do you have anything else on the TV there, Amanda? I have a tiny bit of TV thing if you're done.
Well, I was going to mention that the BBC released a trailer for The Day of the Doctor, which is the 50th anniversary special. I'm going to post it to the website, but it's a pretty bullshit trailer.
Oh, yeah.
I'd call it more of a teaser than a trailer, but it just cycles through all of the doctors up until Matt Smith, and then that's about it. I guess it's a trailer letting you know that all of the doctors will be in the 50th anniversary.
Except for
Eccleston.
You know, he was in, you know how I was watching... Oh, God. 28 Days Later? Last night? He is in that movie, and I totally forgot. He's like this military dude at the compound at the end of the movie.
What do you know?
He's a total creepo in that movie.
Yeah, he's going to be in Thor in a couple weeks.
Well, I know. He's got some ears.
He does.
But when they're that big, it's just part of the thing. He looks like a character. Like, if I were to draw him...
he looks like a caricature of himself.
Yeah. That's
he was born to play Dumbo.
Which isn't a bad thing. Elephants are fun.
They're pachyderms. Pachyderm! Dumbo always makes me sad.
It does. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's a pretty sad movie.
It is sad. You got the racist crow.
Crows.
Bad.
That's... Yeah, which is like rocking Dumbo to sleep in her trunk from her like jail card. I'm like, oh man, I can't watch this movie anymore.
Oh, I know. I almost said aliens. Those elephants are slaves. The beginning, yeah. The opening, they're like hammering in the tents and everything.
Yeah.
Spikes? That's a hardcore movie, dude.
That movie used to depress the shit out of me when I was a kid.
I don't think Disney would make another movie like that. That's just hardcore, dude. That movie is rough.
Yeah, I can't imagine they would. I mean, speaking of the first and only time you'll ever hear a segue like this on this show, speaking of slaves, I don't suppose any of you caught the 12 Years a Slave. It got released in limited release this weekend.
Negative.
It makes Schindler's List look like Coyote Ugly.
Uh-oh.
Like it is just downright like bad. Like it's an amazing movie, you know, all that stuff, but it is not a happy movie. I saw Captain Phillips in Gravity all this weekend. And yeah, it's a bit of a downer. Spoiler alert, there are slaves in this movie. And they are treated as such. Have you guys seen Gravity?
No. I get seasick in space.
Yeah, this is probably not the movie for you. It's probably like the most beautiful movie I've ever seen. I saw it in both 2D and 3D. I was a busy boy this weekend. It was my anniversary, and so I saw it, and it's just like stunning, and like all the stuff like Alfonso Cuarón, like the technology that they created to do this, like they. It's kind of like reverse motion capture. So like instead of putting dots all over the actor and like mapping out their movements, they'd have the actors out there and then they would have all of these beams of light like pointing at them, like dots in space and stuff like that. And that's how they mapped the movement. So the actor never moved, but it looks like they moved because the stars moved. And yeah, it's a pretty powerful movie. And it's only 90 minutes. Like it's like that perfect, like it's got a story to tell. There's very little preamble and there's very little epilogue. It's just all, this story is about this. And once that's taken care of, credits. It's super tight and visually amazing. So you should definitely check it out.
Do they kind do of, the quiet in space stuff or is it?
Yes. And you will love it. It's like the best use of it ever. Like, cause like you hear like these little thumps and you realize it's like things bumping into their suit and they're hearing like, inside them, but like once you're outside, it's total absence of sound and stuff like that, and it's definitely going to win many Academy Awards for technical merit. Cuarón will definitely get nominated for an Oscar for directing, and he should win. But we're gonna have to see how 12 Years a Slave does before we can determine whether or not it'll be a Best Picture front runner. Right now, it's my front runner, but we'll see as we get into the award months. Mm. Yeah,
cool. Can't wait.
Yeah,
does she fall back down into the atmosphere and burn up?
You don't want me to spoil the movie, do you?
Maybe. I hate the idea of sitting through 90 minutes and then they die. I don't know about you guys. Do you guys care when the protagonist dies at the end of the movie?
I hate it.
Depends on how they die.
I enjoyed the ending of this movie, Justin.
Okay.
Did they die?
She floats off into space.
Justin knows. Justin has his answer.
It ends like Space Camp.
A little robot pops up. They land in like white.
Some kids talking about using the force and.
What's another movie? I'm trying to think of
Commando.
Predator.
Carrie.
Jaws.
Last Chance of Meatballs 2.
Planet of the Apes.
Fifth Element.
Austin Powers.
Runner.
They don't die in Fifth Element.
They all die.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was the subject. They all don't die at the end of Planet of Chance of Meatballs as well.
No. Meatballs, they are burnt and they're really hard and they're just crashing.
The subject is a movie wherein the protagonists die at the end.
Oh yeah, they all die.
To me, that's like film school 101 bullshit. Like half the time,
Your protagonist.
Yeah, I mean, there is sometimes when it is warranted, but there's so many times that it's done just to like for like shock value. Yeah,
artists, look at me killing the protagonist. Ugh.
Yeah, it's to. Tarantino does it, so I should do it. You know, it's that nonsense.
I look at The Departed. Everybody died in that movie.
I like that movie, though. That movie's bitching.
Okay, there's a good example. That is a good example of where all the protagonists die, and it doesn't feel cheap.
Not at all. And it happens so fast.
And it's just shocking. Like, Leonardo DiCaprio's, the elevator opens, and DiCaprio's head disappears. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, that was cool.
Fuck.
And then the other guy gets killed, and then the other guy gets killed, and then the other guy gets killed.
Only one that lives is Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah. So I did like the Chinese original better, Infernal Affairs.
What? No, you didn't.
Because the bad guy
was
gets
Mark
away.
Wahlberg and Matt Damon in it?
No, but the bad guy. Well, the reason why I didn't really like Mark Wahlberg killing what's his face,
Matt Damon,
was because in the original he gets away with it.
Oh, I don't like that he got away with it.
Kind of liked that the bad guy got away with it at the end, because like, you don't expect that.
I like it when the bad guy is more of an anti-hero, like where they are a bad guy, but they do good things from time to time. You know what I mean? I like it when that person gets away.
But I kind of felt like Matt Damon was a good guy who got stuck in bad circumstances and so became a bad guy.
I think he was a total piece.
I don't remember. I haven't seen it for a while.
Did you see the Red Band trailer for Homefront, Justin?
Yeah, that
guy. Pretty cool.
Holy shit, that guy is amazing.
When they're at the gas pump, he's like, "You should rethink this," and then like just tears him a new asshole.
I think he should have got the Lifetime Achievement Award the moment he popped out of his mother's womb.
He should have came out like Owen Hart with like two trophies.
Yeah, you just carry him everywhere he goes. He should get two Lifetime Achievement Awards because he's kicked more ass than anybody else that I know.
Yeah,
I can't imagine Jason Statham as a child. Like, in my mind, he's always been like a fully grown adult.
He is so cool, man. The guy is amazing.
Yeah, he is pretty right. He's pretty awesome.
I have a smile on my face when I tell the nice person at the ticket window that I'm buying a ticket for his movies.
You're like, 2 for Jason Statham's Homefront, please. Yeah.
Exactly. And they just smile at me. And I'm like, I just know I'm going to see an awesome movie with him pounding face. Like,
one day we're going to meet him. One day he's going to go to Comic-Con. And it will be our mission for those 4 or 5 days to meet Jason Statham.
Anyway.
Anyways.
What about the Star Wars? You got some news on the Star Wars there?
I do. It's going to be a long haul to 2015, and Disney's trying to make it as painless as possible for us. Our good friends over at Jedi News unearthed a secret Disney document that outlined the next 2 years of their Star Wars plans.
Were they killed trying to deliver us this message?
Many Bothan spies died delivering this message. There was quite a bit on there about, you know, some Lego projects and everything like that, and the Clone Wars DVDs. But most interesting on them was the confirmation that Episode 7 was going to be a spring/summer 2015 release. Most people had speculated that they were going to move it to December. That was where the smart money, but apparently all that smart money was for shit. But what caught most people's eyes was in the spring and summer of 2014, there will be a Darth Vader-themed TV specials.
Ooh, what?
Specials, plural. So I'm assuming that'll be like an ABC TV type thing, hopefully better than the holiday special, even though the holiday specials did have B. Arthur and Bubba Fett. But
your two favorite bees.
So that's kind of cool. Yeah, I'm a Vader guy, which is why I have my unhealthy love with Episode 3. So, you know, This excites me greatly. I don't know what you guys think about it.
I like the Star Wars. I think any Star Wars is good. Cool with it.
I am of the same opinion. Any Star Wars is good Star Wars, and I am all about more Vader.
Yeah. Now, there hasn't been any inkling of, you know, what time frame the Vader will be in. You know, I'm sure most people will assume it's between 3 and 4, but I thought it would be cool if they set it in between either, you know, A New Hope and Empire, or maybe even Empire and Jedi. I go on a long-winded tirade on the website, but one of my favorite incarnations of Vader is the Shadows of the Empire Vader from the novel. And there's several chapters to where Vader is just like, he's just obsessed with finding Luke, because, you know, Luke, you know, even though he had him in his sights on Yavin, and, you know, only the interceding of the Millennium Falcon saved him, it was like the closest he ever came to be matched, you know, in a long time. And so he wants to find his son. He wants to turn to the dark side. He, you know, he realizes the two of them can just take the Emperor, bend him over that railing, just do him doggy and throw him over. That's how they do it. And so he'll just go on these missions where he's like one TIE fighter versus like 12 X-Wing, and he'll just like annihilate them. So I think it'd be cool if it was set during the original trilogy, but we'll see. They may want to stay away from that for obvious reasons. They don't want to have to show a Luke Leia type thing. They said, but if they send it between Empire and Jedi, they don't have to explain where Han is. He's hanging on some guy's wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the big Star Wars news this week. Hopefully next week we'll have even more news. It seems to be kind of slowly but steadily leaking out. I think that Disney is trying to get their ducks in a row. I think they feel like they have Marvel and Pixar kind of set as far as what they're going to do. Now they're just getting Star Wars ready. So Disney's going to be putting out some cool shit in the next couple of years.
I have a question.
Sure.
Is Darth Vader supposed to be plastic or metal?
Like, as far as like his...
Like, why can't he do Force Lightning? Is it because he's metal and it'll hurt him? Or is it because he's just missing his pots?
There's a couple different theories. A lot of his suit is metal, but not the parts. You know, first of all, he doesn't have hands. that's just not a power that he ever developed. You know, he's not a Force Lightning guy. He's a Force Choke guy.
He would like.
I always thought it was...
every time he did Force Lightning, he'd go and like have a short and get rebooted.
Yeah, I mean pretty much. Some people think, but I mean, there's never been any, you know, real backing up of that. You know, I just assume it's just not a Force skill that he ever deemed necessary.
I could have sworn I read somewhere that the reason that he never does use Force Lightning is because of the fact that he has so many electrical systems in his body that it could short him out, and it could essentially kill him. Now, I'm going to defer to you, David, because you are by far the expanded universe expert here amongst us, because you have read every single Star Wars novel out there. But if you say that it hasn't been clearly classified, then I'm going to believe you. But I could have sworn I heard it from somewhere other than just our own personal musings.
Right. I mean, it's entirely possible. I mean, that's basically how he dies at the end of Jedi, is, you know, he gets fried by the Emperor's lightning.
Right, exactly, yeah.
But it's never been clearly outlined that don't do Force Lightning, or you'll shock the shit out of yourself and you'll die. I mean, it's a safe assumption.
Shoot your eye out.
I just always understood it as that, you know, some Jedi are better at things than others. Like, the Emperor is good at Force Lightning and predicting the future. Vader's good at choking a bitch. Yeah.
Why doesn't Luke force push his buttons on his chest to shut him off?
That's funny. The very first scene of any movie I ever wrote in my life, when I was 17... it dealt with that exact issue. It was two guys sitting around at a video store bitching about why doesn't Luke turn off Darth Vader's buttons. And they did it on Robot Chicken.
There you go.
Assholes. It took my idea.
Well, it's just like Mace Windu fighting General Grievous on the first animated series of Clone Wars. He just kind of reached out and crushed his chest, and that's why he's a wheezing mess in Episode 3.
Exactly. Which makes no sense if you didn't know that that's what he did.
Yeah.
Why is this guy wheezing?
Yeah, quit with the cigarettes, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. It's like, why are we supposed to be scared of this guy?
Lay off the death sticks.
Exactly.
But yeah, that's pretty much all for Star Wars. There was a little blurb about our buddy Tim Burton, that he is is thinking about coming back for Beetlejuice 2. And in fact, the Wrap is reporting that he is going to do Beetlejuice 2, and that Michael Keaton will return as the titular guy. So it's pretty much at this point wild speculation. Tim Burton has 3 or 4 other movies lined up right now, so it wouldn't be anything we'd see in the near future. It'd probably be like a 2016, 2017 type release.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, I think we're all huge fans of the original Beetlejuice, and I would not mind seeing a second go-around, even if it is with weirdo Tim Burton.
I just remember seeing it in the theater, being amazed. It's like, this is like the craziest movie ever. Did you really? Yeah, it's a good movie.
I did.
Amazing.
I was so young when I saw it, I just wasn't into it. I went over and I played in the playground. Oh. And it wasn't until I watched it later in life that I appreciated it for what it was.
Scared me.
Yeah, I remember seeing it as a kid and just dying laughing every single time that Beetlejuice kicks over the tree and he's like, nice fucking model. And he honks his
yeah.
That just killed me every time as a kid. I'd rewind and watch it like over and over and over.
And I like how Gina Davis gets upset that there's a strip club model. Like, she's like, why'd you put that in there? Like, a typical wife just upset at her husband.
It's like, it's in the town.
He's like, I didn't put that in there. And that's a typical response from a husband. Like, I don't know how that got there. That's just so fitting. Love it.
Yeah, so. Beetlejuice 2. I'm in.
Yeah.
Let's make it a reality.
Let's do it.
What about other random sequels have you heard about?
Ooh, the Army of Darkness.
There you go.
Yeah, Army of Darkness 2.
Tell us all about it.
I don't really know much about it. I just know that it was at some Comic-Con, I think Nashville Comic-Con. According to comicbook.com, which we like, we're friends with them.
Absolutely.
The Evil Dead and Army of Darkness star was asked at Wizard World Nashville Comic-Con if a sequel to Raimi's third Evil Dead movie was going ahead. Here was Mr. Campbell's reply. The last one was 20 years ago. I just haven't been racing to do it. Sam Raimi is just a little bit busy making the biggest movies in Hollywood. I used to be busy. Now I'm not. That's why I'm here. Ash would have to stop occasionally from chasing some deadeye to catch his breath. Maybe we could do that, I guess. That would be exciting. Fight with a walker. Or fighting a walker. That would be all right. Hit him with a cane. Fake him out. And have a fake heart attack. Distract a zombie. I like it. Campbell then apparently got serious. All right, sir. The answer is yes. So.
Nice.
If that's true or not, who knows?
Bruce still Campbell sounds like he could be effing with him, though.
I know. I was going to say, he's a bit of a whack job, and I wouldn't be surprised if he was just blowing a smoke.
Right. Just be like, yeah, it's done. We're doing it.
Right. And get everybody excited, and then, who gives a shit?
I actually have footage to show you. This goes nuts. I'm just fucking with you. There's no chance.
Or just make like a whole movie in the backyard, and it's like 3 minutes long.
Right. Just Tim with like a gas powered chainsaw.
Anyway, is that it for the movie news?
It is. That's all I got. Unless you want me to just go down a list of porn titles.
Oh no. We don't have to do that.
I don't know how much you want to bleep.
Do we have a list?
I do believe we have a list. This one's kind of fun, and it's a little bit premature, but it's. I thought it'd be kind of fun to do something kind of morbid, because Halloween's right around the corner.
I like it.
So is it a scary list?
No, it's not scary, but it's the top 10 worst ways to die. So it's more grotesque and morbid than scary.
Well, real quick, what's everybody? Does anybody have like a fear of dying, like the worst possible way that they think they could die?
I do.
What is it?
I can't share it because someone listening might do it to me.
Oh, I'm just curious if it's on this list.
I'm like, sure it is.
Like me personally, I would hate to burn to death. I think that would suck to burn alive.
That would be terrible, yeah.
I would agree.
I don't like the idea of drowning. Of just not being able to take a breath. Just knowing that you have to hold your breath as long as you can. Your lungs are burning. Feeling like they're going to explode, and then when you finally do take that breath, it's just done.
Yeah, I think it's just over as soon as the water gets in your lungs.
Yeah, you go to sleep.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah, because your body involuntarily will breathe for you after a while. Like, if you don't breathe, like, eventually your body will just say, if you're not going to do this, I'm going to do it. I'm taking over.
Not a fan.
It's like God gave me a big wet hug.
that is what they say it's like. And I guess if you just kind of enter into a watery slumber, it's maybe not so bad, but it's still kind of a fear of mine.
Like in Full Monty, it's like, I don't want to drown, I can't swim. That's the point.
That's funny.
So I imagine as we get up to number one, that's going to be the worst way. So imagine this is the 10th worst way you could die, being buried alive. That's pretty terrible too, because I have to imagine you would suffocate slowly and you would know that it's coming. So again, it's one of those things where you fall asleep and it's probably not the most painful or traumatic way to go, but it's definitely, it's going to mind F you for probably at least a good hour before you die.
I'm surprised it's not higher. That's a huge phobia for most people.
Yeah.
But, and Kill Bill Volume 2, that was pretty incredible when she's getting buried alive and the camera's all, it's just black and you hear the dirt being thrown onto the coffin.
Yeah.
That was pretty gnarly. I didn't like
being
that.
Being trapped part. Under the ice, that's probably a bad one too. You can see. I'm like, I can see it.
And it freezes over so fast too, because it's so cold. At least in the movies it does. I don't know. I never go ice fishing or anything. I wouldn't know.
I avoid the snow like the plague. Like Mr. the Plague.
Good for you. What's number 9?
Number 9 is falling to your death, which is really only a minute or two, maybe at the most, of just terrifying anticipation.
2 minutes? Where are you falling from?
I don't know, like jumping out of a plane or something. Off a really high cliff. Maybe.
What do you think you'd think about if you're falling to your death?
I imagine it's going to be one of those things where in the last moments of your life, your whole life flashes before your eyes. So you think about people you love, mistakes you've made, what you wish you would have done but never did, regrets you have.
A, would you try to flap your arms? Just, like, you never know. Would you think you'd try it?
Try and jump at the last second is what I would do.
Try to swim.
Just do it like you're diving off a diving board and just point yourself down so you go even faster. There's less resistance. Yeah. Just get it over with quickly.
And then pull up at the last second to get some... to slow yourself down.
Yeah. Right.
That would be nuts.
Make a parachute out of your pants.
I'd probably have a heart attack and fucking die on my way down.
It wouldn't surprise me. I would have to imagine that if anybody's falling from a really great distance that has enough time to contemplate their life like that and have a heart attack, I imagine that probably kills more people than the fall or the drop does.
Right.
Or the impact.
Like when we were talking about that executive decision movie where Steven Seagal dies and gets sucked out.
Yeah.
Like, he's like 30,000 feet, so he's got some time. I'm sure he'd probably like freeze to death or suffocate or something because it'd be so cold up there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and he just kind of got ripped out. Yeah, he just kind of got ripped out, so it may have snapped his neck, too.
Yeah, otherwise he's thinking about all of his awesome movies on the way.
He's Seagal, he lived.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
He just caught another plane.
Number 8 is dismemberment. Ew. And it's got an image of a dude being pulled apart by horses, tied to his arms and legs, and going all 4 different directions. That's pretty god-awful. Number 7 is pressure. So imagine you're down in a submarine and it depressurizes as it's coming up, or you're in a situation where all of a sudden, let's say you're in space and there's a hull breach, all the pressurized air gets sucked out and all your insides become outsides. So yeah, it'll either implode you or explode you. Pressure is a bitch no matter how you look at it, but that is a hell of a way to go. But I've got to imagine it's quick. So it has that in its favor. Gruesome.
Indeed.
Number 6, blunt force trauma. Imagine like a baseball bat to the cranium, or basically any kind of just blunt object smashing into your skull or any other part of your body, but specifically your skull. You'd live for a couple minutes, enough to know how much life sucks.
I don't like that.
Yeah, it's no fun. This is not a fun list. Who picked this list? Number 5 is electricity. Think the electric chair. It's considered by many to be far too barbaric for punishment. In fact, there's only 2 countries in the world that still use it: us and the Philippines. What does that say? theoretically, the first really high voltage electricity that enters your body is supposed to cease brain function, but that doesn't always work because some people have been known to scream and yell as they fry. So that's pretty terrifying way to go to. Number four, flaying. Imagine being skinned alive.
No, it's awful.
Watching somebody peel the flesh from your body. I mean, eventually bleed out, but if they did it correctly, they could get a whole lot of skin off you before you finally die.
Don't like it.
Nor do I, sir. Nor do I. Number three, disease. And this one's kind of vague, but I mean, think of something like cancer or AIDS or flesh-eating virus or something like that. Something where you've got it, you know you've got it. There's not a goddamn thing you can do about it, and you're going to die. It's kind of like that couple minutes when you jump out of an airplane to your death, but magnify that by several years. And that's fucking terrible and not something we should laugh at. But it is kind of funny.
It's definitely terrible, and I'm in no way saying it's better than the others, but I mean, in the scenario of, you know, like a long-term like disease like a cancer or an AIDS or something like that, at least you have time to, like, put everything in order.
Get your affairs in order, yeah. You know, enjoy the time with your loved ones. But it's an unwarranted death sentence.
Oh, absolutely.
You've done nothing wrong, but you're being, you know, you're going to die just the same. I don't know why that one was number three. I probably would have put it significantly lower on the list, but I agree with you there. Number two is the one that I chose for my personal worst way of going, and that is drowning. That is a very, very common fear.
I almost drowned when I was a kid.
Really? Is that what's kind of spurs your fear of that now?
I'm afraid of the water. I'm afraid of water to this day.
Sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, I was like six, and I was at a pool party with a bunch of kids, and I was wearing the same suit as another kid, and I was just standing outside the pool, and some kid thought I was the other kid, and he pushed me in the pool, and there was so many people around that didn't notice for like at least like an hour, but it was probably like 5 seconds.
And number one is Justin's answer: burning alive.
Ugh. Awful.
That's just terrible, because not only is it just burning your flesh, but if you try to take a breath during that, it's all going to go in your mouth, down your throat, your lungs, and it's just going to F you up from the inside as well. There you go. There's your top 10 worst ways to die.
I like it. I hope none of us nor our listeners have to experience any of those.
I agree.
But if you do, feel free to let us know which one you died.
if you've died multiple times, let us know which one's the worst.
Yeah, theoretically, somebody could have died from drowning and then been brought back.
Or buried alive.
Yeah.
So I have a game for us.
Oh, yeah? Is it a fun
cool.
game?
Cool.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. I don't necessarily have a title for this one yet. I kind of forgot to do that part. But what it's dealing with is Hollywood resumes. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a very, very brief description of the talent involved and a couple of pictures or TV work or even voice actor work that they have done in the past. And you have to try and tell me who this resume belongs to.
Okay.
Sound fair?
I hope it's hard.
It's pretty difficult. So I think I've been accused of my games being a little bit too easy, so I wanted to kind of mix it up a bit. Feel free to answer when you know it. If you guess wrong, you are done for that turn. If none of you get it right, then it's just a voided question, and that's too bad for all of you.
All right.
Sound good?
Ready.
There are the usual 10 questions, and we'll tally it all up at the end and see who wins and is Geek of the Week.
We just shouting out?
Shout it out when you know it. And remember again, if you guess wrong, then that's just too bad for you. You die.
All right. Let's do it.
All right. Okay.
And these are all actor or actresses?
Actor or actresses, and all of them are very popular in geek culture. It's not going to be like Laurence Olivier or Sidney Poitier or anything like that. These are all people that are well-known in the geek universe.
Because heaven forbid we don't know them.
Right. I thought it would be a little bit easier that way.
You wanted to keep Amanda competitive.
Yes.
I'm still going to lose.
No. Some of your favorite actors and actresses are involved in this list. All right. Are we all ready?
Ready.
All right.
Yeah.
This actress was born in 1977. She's an ass-kicking female, and she can be seen in I Know What You Did Last Summer, Scream 2. And
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Very good. That is correct. Sarah Michelle Gellar. She actually did some voice work in one episode of King of the Hill. Very good, Amanda. All right. Next. Born in 1962, he's still a good-looking dude. Yeah, he might be a little bit crazy and won't take medication, but honestly, after such films as Taps, The Outsiders, and...
Tom Cruise.
Very good. And Legend, who really cares if he's a loony? David, that is correct.
Wait, who?
Tom Cruise is correct.
Never heard of Taps.
It deals with a military school with the boys.
It's like the only role where he's not playing Tom Cruise.
Yeah. And he's intense. Like, he doesn't take no shit off anybody. He's kind of got a Lord of the Flies thing. You know Jack in Lord of the Flies? Kind of like him.
I don't remember.
He was
the, such a long time.
He's the bad kid that makes all the other kids bad. Ralphie was the good boy. Anyway. Born in 1967, this funny man had a long career on SNL, and he was also featured in such films as Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, and Starsky and Hutch.
Will Ferrell?
Correct, Randy.
I guess Austin Powers is too obvious.
Yes.
He wasn't Austin Powers, though, so...
Mike Myers was not in Starsky and Hutch.
No, he was not.
At least to my knowledge, which is quite extensive. Born in 1964, this crazy dude doesn't take too many breaks. In fact, during 2011, he starred in 5 feature films. Some of his earlier work include Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Peggy Sue Got Married, and Trapped
in Nicolas Cage.
David is correct with Nicolas Cage.
Should take some breaks.
This actor with a golden voice came into the world in 1976. He was born and raised in London and can be seen in Hawking, Atonement, and The Other Bowling Girl.
Oh my god. James McAvoy.
Incorrect.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Incorrect.
No idea.
It was Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, I forgot he was in Atonement, actually.
I did that one especially for you.
Damn it.
Sorry.
Clearly you had to say Star Trek Into Darkness, The Hobbit, and Sherlock.
Oh, that's brutal. This actor was born in 1931 and ranks pretty high on any geeky list. His voice work can be heard in Osmosis Jones, Over the Hedge, and 7 Star Trek games.
Leonard Nimoy?
No.
He was born in
1931.
Will Wheaton?
31.
I heard 1931 again, all I heard was 31, and even though Will Wheaton's not 31, I was just thinking, like, that's how old they were.
He did go off and be a time traveler or some shit, though, right?
Shatner?
That is correct, David. William Shatner. David is tearing it up. 3. Born in 1955, this actor has become a bit of a douche on set and during interviews. He can be seen in... What'd you say? No. Oh. He can be seen in Death Becomes Her, 4 Rooms, and an episode of Ally McBeal. He's uptown all the way.
I have no idea.
I had a 50-50 chance of douchebags, and I picked the wrong one. It's probably an Armageddon, too.
Randy, do you have a guess?
I'm going to say Bruce Willis.
That is correct. Randy has 2. David has 3. Amanda has 1.
High five, Randy.
Woo, thank you for that one. That solidified what I was already thinking.
Okay, good.
All right. This actress was born in 1949 and is considered to be a pretty tough broad. She's fought against aliens at least 6 times.
Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah. Okay, that was... I heard Amanda's voice first, but Randy finished before her, but I'm going to go ahead and give it to both of you. I'll give it to both of you. You both get a point. She can be seen in Copycat.
I don't understand. I don't get how you hear my voice first, but then Randy finishes first.
Because you dragged it out too long. You're like, Sigourney!
And I would think that just Amanda would get the point.
Well, this is my game. When you...
Your game is flawed. It's flawed, sir.
No one get the point! Turn this car around.
Everybody's back to zero.
Sudden death.
It has to.
Real death.
Because honestly, with Skype and delays, it could have been anybody. So I'm giving it both of them a point.
I feel like I'm always lagging.
Well.
Because I'm not stupid.
All right. Born in 1964, this fine young man gets blasted for being a horrible actor. Never mind, he's awesome at everything he does. Some of his work includes River's Edge, Dracula, and The Gift. Hell, he
Keanu
was...
Reeves.
Correct. He was even in a band once.
Dang it.
David, with four.
I was thinking him, but his name just, like, it wasn't coming.
Oh, that's funny.
No one better talk shit on Keanu Reeves in my presence.
Okay.
Are we ready?
Yep.
I'm ready.
Last one. Which hopefully Randy doesn't get, because then we have a tie, and I don't have one more to finish this on. You guys can share. You can
have paper, scissors.
You can have joint custody of your Geek of the Week title.
Sweet.
All right. Are we ready?
Yep.
Hands on your buzzers.
There.
This Scotsman was born in 1930. He's a bit of
Sean Connery.
Oh, I heard Randy first. Son of a dick, but he's too cool for us to really care. His work includes Robin and Marion, Highlander, and The Avengers.
Was it one of those you heard Randy's voice first, but I finished first?
No, I heard Randy first and finished first.
I'll take it on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. You take it on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. We'll alternate Sundays.
Sounds perfect.
We'll be progressive parents.
So, congratulations to you both.
So everyone wins. Almost.
Almost. Amanda.
Except me.
I even tried to give you free points. One more thing. I would like to just bring up our friends, IndieRain.com, one more time. That is IndieRain, as in REIGN.com. It's a great place to stream indie films. You can rent or purchase these movies. I believe Jess will have her first review up for one of the films that is currently available on their site. It's called Polypore. Description of the movie is: a young man must cope with involuntary telepathy, a potion-induced transformation, teleporting agents, and a clone reincarnation, all the while dodging an evil corporation that wants to harvest his brain for knowledge. So I wonder what she thinks of it. IMDb has it like ranked at like 6.7, which isn't terribly impressive, but we have seen much worse.
Yeah, it's pretty good for like for an indie feature. Usually those are the ones that get just...
in the fives and fours, yeah.
If you're lucky.
So that review should be up in the next day or two, so feel free to check that out. In fact, we encourage it. And I believe she will be reviewing two films from their site every month. So we will be sure to plug that every chance we get.
I like plugging.
I want to just throw this out there. Next week, we're going to be making a fun and relatively big announcement, so be sure to tune into next week's podcast, and we'll drop a treat on you.
Ooh.
Woo!
Well, that does it for this week's episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Remember to like us on Facebook, follow us on the Twitter there, at Geek Legacy. Two special shout-outs this week, one to at Geeky Enthusiast, as well as at Zombridget, who sent us in a couple of topics tonight. That was for Army of Darkness 2 and frickin' Beetlejuice 2. So thanks to her. Remember to check out our other podcasts, the Pixelated Podcast and the Comic Corner Podcast. Check out frickin' geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews. And stay fabulous!